Now, our plan is that we will finish up the first half of Pilgrim's Progress today, and then we'll start back again on January 4th in the second half of the book. And we'll just see how that goes. It's funny, as I've been studying this, the people who have written about Pilgrim's Progress have written less about the second half than they have about the first half. And even the study guides that I'm stealing and adapting, the section on the second half is much shorter, so you're going to get a lot more obscure questions from here on out. So that's our plan. Well, Pilgrim's Progress, the Celestial City, is the section that we're in, so we'll just work our way through here and make observations, and perhaps as we finish up, we might have some time for your own testimonies about what this study has meant to you so far. We'll see how we go. It depends how bogged down we get as we go along. All right, Beulah, whose air was very sweet and pleasant. Beulah is a Hebrew word, which means married. It's in Isaiah 62:4, and perhaps you might want to look that one up. Isaiah 62 and verse 4. And in some versions they translate it, and some they just transliterate it. So Isaiah 62, let's see, verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Harry, do you have the New American there? On that one? Oh, you're looking at it in the other one? Who has it? Okay. Go 62 verse 4.
It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said desolate, but you will be called my delight in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married.
All right, so there you see that they translate it rather than transliterate it. And the meaning of the Beulah is married. And what was the Hephzibah? Is that delights in her or something? Is that what it is? Bill, thanks. All right, so now what part of Christian's pilgrimage do you think the country of Beulah represents? What part of his pilgrimage does it represent? Okay, the marriage of the bride and groom, a type of the Christ and the church. I think that is certainly a part of the symbolism here, isn't it? What about in comparing the stage of somebody's life? What part of life do you think the Beulah land, as Bunyan presents it here, what do you think that represents? It's not quite heaven yet. It's not quite heaven. Actually, we sing it. There's a hymn that we have about over in Beulah land. That's talking about heaven. But that's not what this is, the symbolism here.
Maturity.
Maturity, okay. And almost old age as a saint. Okay. I put in the notes here, the last stages of life before death, when the saints walk close with the Lord and seem to slip from one world to the next. And so it's a time of blessing. They heard the voice of what? The turtle. Turtle what? Turtle dove, yes. Okay, that's in the language of Bunyan's day. When they said the turtle, they didn't mean, an amphibian. They meant a dove. Okay? And this comes from Song of Solomon. There's a reference to Song of Solomon there. Christian with what? Desire fell sick. A shining one came to him. You have but two what? Difficulties to meet with. What are these two difficulties? Not explicitly mentioned in the text. So you have to think this through. Marlene?
Yeah.
Right?
Unbelief.
Death and unbelief. All right. Very good. Death or doubt is what I had, so it would alliterate. Okay, but death without and doubt within. Consider that thou must die but once, I mean as to this world, for if thou, when thou goest hence, dost not die well, Thou canst not come back again and die better. You only have one shot at it. Better do it right, I guess is the point. Well, how do you prepare yourself to die right, by the way? Well, first of all, you have to know the Lord. You know, you have to know the Lord. And if you know the Lord and you walk in faith, you will die right. Okay? Now, there's a river betwixt them and the gate. At the sight of this river, the pilgrims were much stunned. All right? Now, who was allowed to take the path that bypassed the river? Enoch and Elijah. Now, what is this river then? Death. Okay, the river is death. Now, notice that it says that they were stunned. Why would you think they were stunned by the appearance of this river and the realization that the celestial city is on the other side and they must cross the river? This notion of being stunned. What is it? Yeah, things are going pretty good up to this point. Yeah, do I have to die to get there? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and the fact is, as I've often said, I'm not afraid of death, it's the dying part that I don't like. Right? You know, if we are simply to be translated, like Enoch or Elijah, and just simply be translated into heaven, you know, I mean, that would be so nice. No pain, no sickness, no accident, no, you know, just, if the Lord would come again today, that would just be wonderful. That would be fine with me. And you'll second that motion? All in favor? Alright. Alright. Now, so the thing is, however, I mean, nobody relishes death. And in fact, death is the ultimate consequence of sin. It is the absolute opposite of creation. And it is where man turned, instead of turning to God, man turned this direction. And that's part of why we dread it, I think, Bob. Yeah. Yes, you better be ready anytime. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, be ready anytime. Don't wait until you're sick and think that this is it. Debbie.
I was thinking the thing that stunned them too, it wasn't what they expected, and so that kind of goes along with.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we face death, it may not be the way or way we expect.
That's right, yeah. May not be the way we expect. That's right, yes. The river was death, yes. Yeah, yeah, that the journey was almost over. You know, well, the fact is that the journey could be over for any one of us today. And none of us are, you know, all look pretty healthy. So I don't think that, you know, any of us are anticipating that. And that is also a stunning factor. But, you know, the Lord does His work and He will do what He will. I was just talking actually to Pastor Corson. I was mentioning about having Scott Holloway out and his father-in-law, who was pastor over here in Oak Harbor, Washington, and died suddenly here 2 years ago. He was, I think, still in his, I don't know if he was maybe in his 60s by this point, but his father-in-law was a fine preacher, faithful man of God, and he was out on a fishing trip by himself and had a massive heart attack, and that was that. And and the Lord took him home. So, you know, sometimes you wonder, why would that happen? Especially here's a man who's a servant of the Lord, and he could have been used for a number of years. We had a man in our wedding who, 2 weeks after we were married, the day we came back from our honeymoon, he drowned in a pool. He was a man of tremendous ability and talent and really loved the Lord and could have been used greatly in the Lord's kingdom. And yet, the Lord took him home. So, we always have to be ready. It is stunning when we come to that river, and it's a shock, no matter how old you are, I think. And so, we need to be ready and be walking with the Lord. Hopeful says, "Brother, I see the gate and men standing by," what? "To receive us." Amen. Christian says, "It is you they wait for. It is you they wait for." He's beginning to doubt. What causes Christian so much despair in the crossing of the river? Well, not just the enemy, there's something else. Conviction of his own sins, yes. Okay, the memories of his own sins. Because he knows that he's unworthy. Cam. Okay, I can see what you're saying, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the accuser of the brethren, he's still going to accuse as long as he can, right? That's right. Yeah, you're right about that. Yes. Certainly, as a human being, you know that your own life, and you probably know yourself better than anybody else. And those things, if we are not just completely convinced of our own faith in Christ, that we can certainly be shaken. So, what brings Christian out of this last despair? What brings him out? Marlene. Okay. Okay, hopeful reminds him of the truth. What part of the truth? Does anybody remember that? Okay, quote Scripture, all right. Right, yes. And he's promising, he's reminding him of the promises, God's promises. Because our salvation does not depend on the strength of our faith. Remember when Christian told the story, this is a couple episodes back, about little faith, who actually made it into heaven, although he had doubts all the way. Okay, so it is not the strength of your faith, but the presence of your faith and the promises of God, okay, that is essential for our salvation. All right. So the encouragement to think on Christ and His promises for this last one. The celestial city, the city stood upon a mighty hill. Why were the pilgrims able to ascend the hill with such ease? I guess we didn't really talk about them going through the river. But go ahead on this one. Pardon me? While the shining men were accompanying them, there was something that had changed about them. Can? They're mortal bodies. They're mortal bodies, okay? I suppose, actually, if you go by 1 Corinthians 5, they wouldn't have had any kind of bodies at this point because the rapture has not happened. So we have not been raised. So they would be... This is what Paul says, I desire not to be clothed upon, to have the resurrection body. And this is an area where people have a lot of difficulty, but it's possible that in this stage between now and the rapture, that the saints who have died are still waiting the resurrection to have their resurrection bodies. And they're sort of in an intermediary state. Souls in heaven, but no bodies. I'm not quite sure how that works. We're not going to make it too dogmatic a statement. But in any case, it says they had left their mortal garments behind them. So they left behind their old, in the old life, they might have been aged and weary and broken, but they left their mortal garments behind them and they were changed. Are you going now where? It may have said that. I can't remember that. That's probably right. You're saying, didn't they also say they were led up by their arms? That was by the shining ones? Yeah. Yeah, I think that would have to be, you'd have to add that in there too, yes. Yeah. Okay, now, you're going now to the paradise of God, is what this one next quote says. There your eyes shall be delighted with seeing and your ears with hearing. Hearing who and seeing who? The Mighty One. Okay, the Mighty One. They were met by a company of the heavenly host and several of the king's trumpeters. All right, very good. Now, after they shut up the gates, which when I had seen... That's right, I wish myself among them. When I read this passage, it's really of the book, it's really moving. Here he is, the narrator, is looking in the gate and wishing he could see more. Because he's writing from the perspective of an earthly man. Just as we look through the Scriptures, what do we see of heaven? Well, we see little pictures. We don't get much. We see the fact that the Lamb of God is there. and the light from the throne. And the promises of God about that place. And the fact that the saints of God are there. And in many ways we wish we could be there. Because it's a place of such eternal delight according to the Scriptures. And we believe the Scriptures. All right, so with the narrator, I think we can all agree with that statement. All right, Mr. Ignorance. I saw Ignorance come up to the riverside. He's about to die as well. A ferryman named who helped him over? Vain Hope. Then they asked him for what? His certificate. Now what does the certificate represent? Salvation. And it is the thing that all the way through this narrative, it is the thing that is emphasized again and again. Christian asked Ignorance earlier on, do you have a certificate? Oh, I don't need one. You know, I have my good will and my good works and my, you know, I've complied with the law and so on and so on. And it says then, there was a way to where? Hell, even from the gates of heaven. Now, this man Ignorance, and he's sort of the opposite character in the latter part of this section of Pilgrim's Progress. And it is it's a tragic tale. And really, Marlene was just saying how, before we started, how this teaching of Pilgrim's Progress fits in so well with what we're doing in Romans right now. Because Bunyan is teaching about salvation. And Romans is teaching about salvation. And there's nothing that we can do to earn our way into heaven. It is not our morality. It is not our religion. And we've been talking so far in Romans about the pagan man, the moral man, the religious man. When we get to chapter 3 and verse 10, I think it is, then we hit every man. Every man. And he just starts quoting the Psalms, mostly one from Isaiah, I think. And he just again and again and again shows how God's Word says there is not one person in the world, not one, who has in himself personal righteousness. Not one. But now, Romans 3:21, there is righteousness without law. That's what we need. Well, anyway, we're getting into Romans, so let's not get into Romans right now. I love that, though. I love that verse, Romans 3:21. That is a tremendous verse. All right, now the conclusion here of this part of Pilgrim's Progress, I have told my dream to thee. Now, he gives a few warnings here. Be not extreme in playing with the outside of my dream. We'll just finish these and then we'll talk about what he means here. Don't let my similitude put you into a laughter or a feud. All right? And do thou the substance of my matter see. All right. Now what is he talking about here? What is the warning that he's giving?
What?
Okay, get the meaning. Get at what he's getting. And don't be, what else? Pardon me?
Don't go on your own understanding of what you say.
Right. Dig in. Okay, compare it with the Scriptures. That's true. Okay, what else? Anything else you see in this?
It's not just entertainment.
It's not just entertainment. He didn't write it just for entertainment. That's right. Anything else? Yes. I want you to see the substance.
He is fighting over it.
Okay, so what would that be?
I'm just trying to figure that out.
Okay, well, why would somebody fight over the details of this? And maybe not, they might not come to blows, but they might at least come to words. Okay, doctrinal differences might be one. What else?
Reading too much into the symbolism.
Yes, reading too much into the symbolism, disagreeing about what each one means. You know, and he's saying, don't remember, this is just an imperfect, this is the production of a human mind. This is not the Bible. Okay? So don't get too hung up on this. Don't go after him if he's made a doctrinal error here or there. His point is to get across the message of salvation. He says, be not extreme in playing with the outside of my dream. In other words, with each of these symbols and each of these, you know, get to the heart of what I'm talking about. Yes.
Is that what he means by no one throws away the apple for the core?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't, yeah, that's the core is the structure. He says, you get at that meat, that's what you want. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And, go ahead.
Sorry, I think somebody said sometime in the way, life isn't exactly like the journey in the book. You're not going to have a field and then it's going to, he's setting forth ideas, but the sequence isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, Maureen's mentioning, and I think we did mention this before, that we don't go, life isn't like this, exactly. And in fact, there are certain symbols in the book that represent the church. For example, those four young women who guarded the house. What was that house? The House Beautiful, right? The House Beautiful is a symbol of the church. That's just after he's come to the cross and he comes to the House Beautiful. And there he gains his armor. Remember that? Well, then he leaves the House Beautiful and he goes on in his journey. And I don't think Bunyan was saying, okay, well, once you've been in the church, you've got your armor, then off you go. You know, you don't have to come back anymore. That's not what he was teaching. But he was teaching principles about salvation itself and looking at salvation from many different angles so that that people would gain some insight. Now, it is said in one of my writings about this, there's some thought that he taught parts of this to his children when they would come visit him while he was in prison. And that later, he got the idea of putting it all together into one story and published it. And of course, it sold many, many millions of copies over the years. And even at that time, sold a lot of copies. Anything else on this that you'd like to comment? Maybe we do have some time for some testimonies. Anybody like to share a testimony about what the Lord has done to them, or through in just reading this and thinking about it, or some blessing that you've gotten from this? Marlene.
Well, in my book it has at the bottom of it, it brought to mind my own something I did. But what it said is somebody is dying, in state of dying, take Psalms or scripture to them so it feeds their soul. And I was thinking, like when my dad was passing on, I didn't know any Christians, any songs. I didn't. What I did know, I said the 23rd song and I sang Holy, Holy, Holy. Think of the day that, and when I was thinking about it, I thought that would have fed his soul. And that's all I knew. No, and I read that and it really comforted me reading that. All I had to give.
Well, that was a ministry to him, to his soul.
I think it's a little lonely.
He started to fade away, didn't he?
He started to fade away. And so you go visit him and he would flee. But if you would sang to him a song, he would open his eyes or read scripture and say, that's nice. Or, you know, like it really woke his spirit up to God.
And that is, see, the Beulah land, that image in Beulah land is of a saint sort of fading in and fading out. There's a passage in there where it says something about things were distinct at certain points and at other points they weren't. And that is part of that image of an older saint who's here and there. He's sort of got his foot in both worlds. All right, Tony.
And then, like, for me, the night the Reverend died, when I was here, I knew she was dying. I was so emotional that I couldn't even sing, read, or talk. And I just appealed to the Lord for our souls to meet. And she got there, and I had intended to come back the next day and do what I wanted to do, which was sing and pray, whether she could hear me or not.
Well, yeah, you almost feel like she did. I mean, we were up visiting, yeah.
Out of my mouth.
Well, it's a great comfort to think on these things, what God has done. All right, Bob.
In my journey, when I think of the story, you know, I tend to think that I'm a little unique. You know, I have more pain than others.
That's right.
The uniqueness. To read something that, to read of a journey that is so common, you know, it makes it common to all of us, you know, in its simplicity.
Yes, and we can identify along the way.
Exactly, yeah. It's similitudes. I guess that's something for it. If it looks like it's like a cube.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that I found that why this is the first time I've heard it. And I know it's progress, first time I've ever opened it up. And it would be kind of a wonderful book for a young person. As we went through it, as a little study, it's very with you.
Well, it is a blessing. Shelley is your name, yes. Okay, go ahead.
I just think it's been a blessing to me because it's given me a real perspective of the Christian walk, how it can be so different for individual Christians, struggles and temptation, the trials, the handles on. Just gave me a real sort of downward picture of, oh, and I think, oh, I failed there, and there I met a colleague, or there, you know, it's really blessing.
Yes, all right, very good. Okay, anybody else have one? I'm watching the clock, we're fine. Okay, Nora.
With my husband having mentioned being in the nursing home, I still notice, though, that whenever I mention the Lord to him, he immediately picks the light up, and he doesn't object.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord.
One of the things that you mentioned at the end of all spiritual, in many ways, I see him leading that way far more than what you think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, and that would be, that's that image, that's Beulah Land. That's what he's in. All right, very good. Anybody else have a testimony? Tony?
Just the book itself. I was counting on you to, for the information, if it's true. It's the second best-selling book since the Bible. Here helps a lot of people, and they've been surprised.
Yeah, I know. The world is, they don't quite understand, do they?
I thank you for the study. Because this is my third time of going through it, and I've seen so much, having sat under your ministry for long, the different people, ignorance and all that that is in our own lives.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we want to look at the negative characters as well as the positive ones, because we often find faults of our own in those characteristics. Go ahead, Harry.
I just wanted to share that I'm very glad that it's a group study, because when you hear what others get as things they're seeing, there are parts that you kind of got but you didn't, so it brings it all together.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, very good. Yes, in January, we'll start in the second half in January. We'll take a break for December because I want to do something else during December. And then in January we'll start up again. So, all right. One of the things that most struck me was the passage where Hopeful is giving his own testimony. I thought that was one of the clearest presentations of the gospel you can read anywhere, and that's very worthwhile of, you know, pointing somebody to that if they're having struggles understanding. That might be a worthwhile thing to go through with somebody. All right, well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. We're closing a little early today, but that'll be fine. I mean, we have more time for lunch. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God and how it has worked in our lives, how it worked in Bunyan's life as he gave us this masterpiece. Lord, we pray that you would just guide now and help us as we seek to live out the things that we learn. Lord, may our lives be a reflection of faith, not of our own flesh and our own pride, but truly our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that and in His promises, that one day we too will join with the saints in the celestial city and worship you forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.